Let's turn together to Ephesians chapter 6, and also in the back of our Psalter hymnals from Lord's Day 52. Lord's Day 52, and we're also going to be looking, first of all, at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read from Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 20. Ephesians 6, that's found on page 1137. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belts of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I encourage you to keep that open. Your Bible's open to Ephesians 6, but also, if you can open your Psalter hymnals and turn to page 63. That's in the back of our Psalter hymnals, page 63. And we're just going to read question and answer 127, the sixth request, the final request of the Lord's Prayer. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. So 127, what does the sixth request mean? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil means, by ourselves we are too weak to hold our own even for a moment. And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong with the strength of your Spirit, so that we may not go down to defeat in this spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. That's as far as reading in the Catechism. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, over the past few weeks, we have been working our way through the Apostles' Creed, and we have looked at the benefits of the Apostles' Creed. We worked through the Ten Commandments. We looked at the benefits of knowing the commandments, of obeying the commandments in thankfulness. And now finally, the last main section of the Catechism is the Lord's Prayer. We've come to the last petition of the Lord's Prayer, being reminded this is coming to us in the context of our gratitude and thankfulness. We get to pray this prayer. We have the opportunity to pray this prayer because of Jesus Christ. It is only those who are purchased by Christ that can properly understand, properly pray, and confidently pray, knowing that this prayer will surely be heard and answered because we are praying to our Father, who is our Father through Jesus Christ. Now we come to the last petition, which is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This petition reminds us that we are in the midst of a battle, that we are in the midst of a struggle. We are in the midst of a battle taking place every day. One of the greatest threats that soldiers face on the day-to-day battle is what they call battle fatigue. After you've been in the context of war for a certain period of time, you begin to grow weary. You start to forget that your life is in danger. If you fall asleep on the job, if you fall asleep as a soldier and forget that you are in a battle, easily distracted, letting your guard down, you become easy prey to the enemy. So when we come to the end of the Lord's Prayer and we come to this petition, we are being reminded by Christ that we are in a spiritual battle. Jesus reminds us that we need to be constantly on guard and we need to constantly pray. pray for the protection and the deliverance that we always need. And as we pray this prayer, we are reminded that we are praying to a God who hears and answers our prayers. The motivation or the encouragement that we have to pray this prayer is because God is always, always actively protecting us. We are praying for the very thing that God has promised to do, where God says, I will always be with you. I will never leave you. I will never leave you alone. I am the God who never sleeps, who never slumbers. I cannot be caught off guard. I cannot be surprised by the devil's schemes. So it's promises like this that encourage us as fallen, forgetful, often weary sinners. It's promises like those that encourage us to come to the fount, to come to the source of all divine protection. So today we are going to see that Jesus Christ is teaching us to pray for deliverance from evil so that we learn to trust in him alone. This is a book of comfort. The Catechism is a book of comfort. Coming to the end, we are going to be brought face to face with our enemies, brought face to face with our own inability, and caused to see the greatness of our Christ. So that in seeing the greatness of our Christ, even in the midst of our fierce enemies, we find comfort of knowing that all things are in his hands. So we begin then with the first point, that when we pray, deliver us from evil, what are we asking God to deliver us from? Who do we need to be delivered from, or who are we in battle against? In this prayer, we say, deliver us from evil or deliver us from the evil one. We are acknowledging that we are in a battle, a daily battle, a battle every moment against the forces of evil in whatever form they may come. We need to know our enemies, to know who we are up against. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul writes these words. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Paul says our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We are not going to strap on a literal sword, go out these doors, and be able to see our enemies with our earthly eyes, which makes the struggle all that much more difficult and dangerous. Because our battle is not against flesh and blood. It is not against specific people that we will meet. It is not against a recognized army that has a different color armor than us so that we can easily identify them and us. We are fighting a spiritual battle. A spiritual battle led principally by the evil one. We know that the devil is that roaring lion who we cannot see. I mean, having a roaring lion that's seeking to devour us is scary enough, but we can't even see him. He is lurking, prowling, seeking ones who he may destroy. That ancient serpent who tempted Eve, our mother, and brought about the fall of the entire human race. That testing spirit who seeks to lead us astray. That prince of the power of the air. One of the highest, most powerful angels created by God rebelled with a sizable host. That dragon was able with his tail to cast down stars from the sky. That is who we are in battle against. The tactics of the devil are crafty. He does not show himself. He masquerades as an angel of light. He comes to us in our weakest moments and whispers sweet things in our ears. The devil seeks to lull us asleep or to convince us that he is not real or to convince us that he is no threat. But the fact is, he is the leader of a cosmic army. There is a force. Children, I'm speaking particularly to you. Sometimes you see cartoons representing the devil as some cartoonish figure with a pitchfork and horns. The devil is not a laughing matter. He is real, and he is prowling this earth. added to the devil, we also have the fallen angels, that spiritual force that went with him, that are in league with the devil and all his schemes. He is crafty and deceitful, full of lies. That's the first one that we are battling against. The second enemy we face is the world. As Matthew 10, we read a few minutes ago, Jesus sends us out as sheep among wolves. Sheep in the midst of wolves. Here, when the Catechism says that the world is our foe, the world is a reference to everything that we will meet in the present life, including reprobate men, but everything that is opposed to Christ and aligned with Satan. 1 John 5, verse 19 says this, "The world is under the control of the evil one." That's what it means when we speak of the world. Yes, many will hate us because they hated Christ. The world is a foe to the church, fallen men filling the ranks of the army of darkness. Just for an example, where do we find the world? All you have to do to find an example of what the world looks like or what the world is saying, just turn on your TV or turn on your computer, check your email, and you will see the world. You will listen to the news. You will see various things that describe the powers of this present world trying to pull us, to suck us in, so that we put our hope, we put our trust in the things of this world that are passing away. Driving down the interstate, you see billboard signs that pull at our flesh. When you go out these doors in a few minutes, you are not entering safe territory. You are entering the world that is under the control of the evil one. The world is no friend to righteousness. Now, to be clear, in speaking of the world, we are not talking about the created order, not talking about trees and rocks. I am talking about the things that mankind has produced, mankind included, which constantly battle against Christ, the fallen works and wonders that lead away from holy devotion. So we have two enemies which are fierce, the devil, the world, and finally the third enemy is our own sinful flesh, our own sinful desires and cravings which constantly lead us astray. Galatians 5:17 says this, "The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit." The desires of the flesh, the things that my flesh, the things that this earthly nature fallen now desires, that my flesh, that your flesh wants ease. You seek your own glory and your luxury, your distracted daydreams and adultery of the heart and mind. Fallen human beings like we are, our flesh craves pampering. We long to be satisfied with the pleasures of this passing world. As James 1 says, we are led astray by our various passions and pleasures. Lusts entice us as we are lured away by our own desires. So when we put these three together, we find that the devil's tempting finds easy hook in my own heart, that the world's pandering is so sweet to my fallen taste buds. The dangers are not something out there, they are also something in here. Our battle is not only with something that we meet out there, it's something that we have in here. And these enemies are our mortal enemies. They seek one thing, to pull us away from Christ. They will stop at nothing. They want blood, and they will not stop until they win victory over us. They never stop attacking, the Catechism says. So we need to know our enemies. We need to know the dangers that we face on a daily basis to remember that we are facing these forces every day of our life. And to make matters worse, when we look at our own resistance what sort of a fight we can put up ourselves. As the Catechism rightly says, by ourselves we are too weak to hold our own even for a moment. By ourselves, we are too weak to hold our own even for a moment. Think of what Jesus said in Matthew 10. I am sending you out as sheep, as little lambs in the midst of wolves. If you have ever watched on the Nature Channel or the Discovery Channel, you think of a cheetah or a panther or a hyena coming behind a small little kid or lamb or a little animal. How much hope, how much defense can they have? Well, we are like little lambs sent into the midst not only of wolves, but of a lion, the devil himself. The fact is, a snowball has a better chance of extinguishing the sun than we do as sinners, repelling the attack of our enemies. So on our first point, we need to see our foe rightly. Don't underestimate those who are against us, because the temptations that we receive are so soft and subtle, which makes them so incredibly dangerous. They must be our sworn enemies. They will find no rest, no refuge, no sanctuary in our midst. As our enemies, they will never quit, so we must never rest. As that hymn says, we must always watch and pray. This truth humbles us and reminds us why we need this very prayer. Why do we, even as Christians, need to constantly pray, deliver us from evil? Because we are cast out into this world as sheep in the midst of lions and wolves. We cannot cast out demons or demolish strongholds by our own hands. But there is good news here. Good news not found in us. Good news found in our commander. As Scripture says, greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. We not only consider our great enemies, we must consider who is our commander. Whose side do we find ourselves on? In praying this prayer, we are tapping into, we are acknowledging, we are coming before the throne of grace. In praying this prayer, deliver us from evil, we are praying to God, who is the only source of hope and comfort. So that John 5, verse 18 says, anyone born of God is kept safe by God. Christ, our commander, our conqueror, has already defeated these foes. The devil himself has already received a mortal blow. He has been cast out of heaven, thrown down to this earth. He's been chained, and his time is short. The world has already known greatness as it saw death itself cast away. And our own flesh, our own sinful flesh, has been put to death. So all is not in vain, because we are coming to this battle in the name of Jesus Christ. Christ who sent his Spirit to dwell within us. As Ephesians, back in Ephesians 6 verse 5, 6 verse 10 says, finally be strong in the Lord and in your own mighty power. That's not what it says. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. In his mighty power. That's where the hope is. That's where the comfort of the gospel is to us. We are in the strength of the Lord and his power, that the Lord's strength becomes my strength. When I am united to Christ in faith, his conquering power becomes my conquering power. So that Christ, by his Spirit, secures victory for us and then fits us for battle. As Ephesians 6, then, this passage that we read then unfolds, it tells us exactly what Christ does by his Spirit. Well, as a good Roman soldier would be, they would be decked head to toe. They have the belt and the breastplate and the shoes and the helmet and the sword and the shield. Decked out for battle, head to toe. Spiritually speaking, Christ, by his Spirit, gives us the truth, gives us righteousness, gives us the gospel of peace and the word of God, gives us faith in Jesus Christ, strengthening us in salvation, and with the Spirit we are defended and protected. So that Christ, by his Spirit, gets us ready, equips us, prepares us for battle. Christ knew what he was doing when he sent us into battle. He did not send us alone. He walks with us, before us, and behind us. And he sends us with his Spirit, who equips us so that we can, in the day of battle, stand. Finally, as verse 16 concludes then, standing in the Lord and in his strength, as 16 says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, taking on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray. And pray. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Be alert and always keep on praying. So how does Christ equip us for battle? He reminds us of our limitations and reminds us of his greatness, and he says, you need to pray. So if you want to be equipped for battle, if you know the enemies that are waiting for you as soon as you walk out these doors, actually the enemy that's already in your heart. If you know the enemies that are waiting for you, then Christ says, you need to pray. You need to pray that you need to pray that the Lord would give you a strength and his Spirit would equip you to stand firm, be alert, and make all supplications. Always watch and pray. So then Jesus, in giving us the Lord's Prayer, is reminding us that we need to constantly pray for his protection. It's shameful how often we approach battle in our own strength. It's shameful how many days pass by where we think, well, I did pretty good today. We approach the trials and temptations while trusting in our own ability. Christ consistently says, you cannot depend on yourselves. You need to trust in me. You need to pray that I would send my Spirit to equip you so that you would stand firm. And Christ, by his Spirit and his power, with constant prayer, equips us to perform our duty of standing in the heat of the battle. Who has overcome the world? Well, 1 John 5, verse 5 says this, only those who believe in Jesus, only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, this is the one that overcomes the world. So it is by faith, by our union, by our connection to Jesus Christ, that we can overcome the devil's, the world, and even our own sinful flesh. But how long? How long is this battle going to take place? This battle between good and evil, how long? Well, there's good news. The battle's already over. The battle has already been won. Jesus mortally wounded the head of the ancient dragon. In ascending into heaven, he is beyond the reach. But the war still continues. Revelation 12 says, because even though Satan knows he's defeated and that his time is short, he is still seeking to wage war against Christ's people. When Christ died, the power of death and the sting of sin were dealt with, and Christ will crush Satan under our feet. But the battle still continues, although the victory is secure. So the comfort that we have, first of all, is that the victory is already secure. It is not a question of whether or not Jesus will defeat the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. They have already been defeated. But the battle, the skirmish, continues. So we pray, as the Catechism reminds us, we pray that you would keep us, deliver us, protect us, the last phrase, until we finally win the complete victory. Yes, we have victory in Jesus, but there is a time coming when that victory will have the complete implications worked out in all areas. So what will happen when Jesus Christ comes back? When Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to take the devil by the chain and cast him into the bottomless pit and then put a seal upon that pit so that the devil is dealt with. And this world in which we live, which is filled with all these temptations and lurings, Christ is going to, with his purifying fire, cleanse it so that there is no longer any temptation to be found in this world in which we live. And for our own souls and bodies, Christ is going to raise us up, glorified and perfected, so that there will be no devil to be dealt with. The world will not be a temptation, and our own flesh will be united with the soul in glorifying and praising God for all eternity. The battle has been won. Our prayer, which is deliver us, is a temporary prayer, and it is one which we can pray with confidence. This prayer that we pray holds on to what Christ has promised. Christ will surely protect his bride. So we pray this petition, asking for what Christ is pleased and has promised to give, until we receive what he promised. To conclude, we need this prayer. We need this prayer because we are weak, our enemies are strong, and the battle is raging. We need this prayer. We pray for perseverance and protection, knowing that apart from Christ's hand, we would all go down to defeat. But the good news is salvation is not only something Christ begins and then says, okay, you finish it, you do the rest. It was begun and will be completed, as he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. So we pray, deliver us from evil. We ask God to keep us safe until he brings us into our eternal home. Keep us from temptation, and when we are tempted, provide us the wisdom and the strength to flee, to see the way out that he provides. And this is our comfort. Our King will protect, defend, and deliver all those who cry out to him for aid. He is pleased to deliver his people. So when we pray, don't forget to say it. Deliver us, O Lord, for I cannot stand in my own strength. Deliver us, O Lord, until we receive the complete victory that you have already gained. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for reminding us of our own inability, for humbling us before you, and we do pray that we would be given the strength by your Spirit to stand firm, that we would always watch and pray, that we would always remember that our salvation, our deliverance, our protection is found in your hand alone. Keep us safe from our enemies, O Lord. Keep us safe from the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. And may we be brought safely into our eternal home on that last day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.